stand here. Why I'm thinking? Any can stand here, Risha? I'm thinking backward. Hello, everyone. My name is Grace. Today's moderator is supposed to be Tim, so we are expecting that he will arrive anytime soon. So as soon as he arrives, he can continue with the program. So welcome to the International English Service of Mitaki Green Chapel. And God is good. Today is a rainy day. We thank God. We see different kinds of weather. Yesterday was a beautiful sunny day. Today is raining. It's all the beauty of God. Because the Bible says the creation around us tells us the beauty of God. So when we see the rain, when we see the snow, when we see the sunshine, we thank God because it's all telling us that God is here and God is around us. So welcome to church today. And this is time for testimony. If you have something that you prayed and God answered, come and tell us so that we can thank God together with you. And if you have something that you're still waiting, expecting, please tell us. Then we will be able to pray together with you. Maybe you're sick, or your relative is sick or is unwell. We believe in a God who answers prayer. That's why we always join our faiths together to pray. And if you just have any announcement you want to share with us, you're also welcome. So this is open time. Welcome.
Hello. Want to ask for prayer for my wife, Naomi. She is at home. She has a stomach ache, and she's feeling dizzy from fatigue. She's tired. She doesn't sleep well, mainly because the baby, we have two babies, but one of them keeps her up. Well, not keeps her up. She sleeps, but the sleep is not normal sleep. It's always waking up constantly. So she's just tired. So please pray for recovery and strength and rest. So the baby that always keeps her up is with us now. I'm here with our five boys. She's with the girl, hopefully getting some quiet time. So just pray for her restoration. Onigai shimasu.
Hello. Oh, there's an echo. There's an echo. All right. I just want to praise the Lord for some answered prayers that I have. I have already posted it last week. Well, it might not be a big thing. Last week, I posted something. Yeah. It's just a thanksgiving for everyone who prayed. It might not be a big thing for most of you because you're used to stand in front of a lot of people. But it was my second time to really face people who really are native English speakers. So I kind of have not really fear, but maybe an episodes of butterflies flying in my stomach every time I stand in front of a lot of people who doesn't speak my language. But last Sunday after the fellowship, Jim invited us to be with the Hiroshima ALTs Association. I had a chance to share what I learned as a teacher in Japan. So it was quite, I would say, they're very forgiving for me. Yeah, I'm not used to really speak in front, but we are only given 30 minutes to speak each. Each of us are given 30 minutes, but I exceeded the time, but the next speaker was so generous, so he gave me his time to really to just give my points to the audience, and it was just fulfilling in my part to share something that I've learned and to really express what I believe. I was able to really make my stand. My topic was the keys to harmony in the classroom. So as you can, maybe some of you could identify, it's very difficult to have a good working relationship with the Japanese, with the Japanese boss. So, and I'm Filipino, so we have different values, we have different beliefs, and also a very different culture. I need to make some adjustments, and if it's not of Jesus Christ, I would have quitted my job. So that's the main point that I was trying to share to the group. If Christ was not in my heart, if I have not been a Christian, I would not be forgiving to them. because I know for my in my I'm very I would say bossy. I'm a bossy person. I assert my views because I know my craft. But when I was placed in the Japanese scenario, it seems like, whoa, I don't know anything. I know something. I can do something. But because I'm inferior, so I tend to just, at the beginning, I have some complaints in my heart. It was really very difficult. But the moment I understand God's purpose, why I'm placed here, why he placed me in that particular school, why he gave me that kind of situation where I have to work with people who are not believers. So I found my purpose, and I found my reason. So that is something that is self-fulfilling as a person. And as a teacher, you have that sense of actualization. So it's really difficult to be self-achieving. Né? It's very difficult when you try to put yourself in a situation telling all people that I know something, but you don't have the avenue to tell them because you are in this position. So it takes God's wisdom to really be in that kind of situation. So I really praise God that he gave me the opportunity to share to the group of people my stand, why I was able to last this long in this in the education sector. So for most of you already know, I've been working as an assistant language teacher for more than 10 years now, maybe 15 years. So the years that I have experienced was not that easy. But every added year, I kind of have that sense of fulfillment of how to become an assistant. When I believed I was born a leader. So it's very difficult to go down when you know that you have to be here. But it's because of the grace of God, and it's because of the mercy of God that I'm able to really last this long, and I was able to maybe find the right key, to find the right key on how to have that harmony in the classroom. So I praise God for they learned something from my talk last Sunday. And one of the revelations that God really showed me was, Michelle, you don't know what you can do. It's like that. Because when something happened to me, for some of you already know my background, the enemy has stolen something from me. The enemy has stolen something from me, the confidence to stand in front. Yeah. But at that moment, when I was able to speak in front of them, like boldly declaring that I am a Christian, I believe in God, I have a God, I have something in my heart, that's why I lasted this long. So it was kind of fulfilling in my part to really declare that, Lord, yeah, you can do something, you can still use me despite of my being broken. It was difficult to realize, but it's kind of that real joy that cannot be expressed in words. God showed me, God told me, you can do more because of me. You can stand because of me. It's not because of what you have here or what abilities you have, but because of me. Because of me, you can stand. So I was able to, I would say, regain that confidence. I've been a teacher for a long time. I stand in front of the class every day. But when I am placed in a crowd that are already in the expert level, I tend to back out because that confidence is already gone. But last Sunday, God told me, it's not your confidence, but my confidence, Christ's confidence. You can stand because of me, not because of who you are or what you achieve or what you know, but because of me. So that's one thing that I really want to praise God about. It's a small thing to some people, but it's a big thing for me. So thank you very much for praying for me. Thank you very much for backing me up. I know it was God who chose that moment. It was God who really appointed that time for me to stand up. Okay, that's one of the emotional things. another one is not so emotional, but really something to thank about also. Last, I think Thursday or Wednesday or Thursday, I got the evaluation again from my company. And I was so overwhelmed by the comments of my supervisors and also of the principal and the teachers. Well, as a whole, they gave me an excellent evaluation. So praise God. Despite of my, I would say, emotionally, I was not well. Physically, I had a very challenging time, but God did not let them see it. They just maybe see through it, but gave me a very excellent evaluation. I just can't believe how God blinded them, but God let them see what they have to see. Because it's all every day that I go to school, I always tell the Lord, Lord, this is for you. This job is for you. Emotionally, I'm not well. But this, you gave me this job. This job is for you. So I'm doing everything for your glory. And God really showed it to them. So I'm also thanking you for keeping me in your prayers. I'm just so happy. These are tears of joy. I'm just so happy that they gave me an excellent evaluation. Not everyone get an excellent evaluation, especially from a principal who is very strict and very high standard. But I really praise the Lord for that. Number three, another praise. I finally filed a renewal of my visa, and my company has given me, has already given me a contract that is indefinite. So an indefinite work contract, so I can continue. I can continue as long as I want. So it was so overwhelming in my part, like, what? Why? For me, why God? Why are you giving me this indefinite work contract? Don't you want me to go back? Don't you want me to go back to the Philippines? Part of me says, yay. But of course, part of me says, why, Lord? Why, Lord? Because in the first place, God gave me this job. God gave me this job. This is the job that He provided for me to let me stay away from sin. It is a job that He provided for me as a way out. But of course, deep within my heart, I also wanted to be reunited back with my family. But I don't understand at this moment. I don't understand why God is giving me such kind of blessing when part of my heart is broken. When I'm trying to fill up the papers, my company told me you can apply for permanent residency. But my heart says no. My heart says no. So I said, can I put something else? And I said, yeah, you can put 5 years if you're not ready yet. So I applied for a 5 years visa, and hopefully it will come out maybe in 2 weeks' time. I don't know what will happen in 5 years, but God knows my heart. God knows my heart's desire. And I just want to obey where God is leading me. Well, at this moment, God is leading me to stay. God is telling me to stay. I've been here for a long time. But I know God has reasons. I know God has reasons why. And although my part of me do not agree, the stubborn in me do not agree, but because God is telling me so I want to obey. So thank you for praying for me also, because God is, through you, God is telling me something also about many things. Another thing, my son is going to finish his 1 year in the first year in the university, and that is one thing to give praise about. He survived. Praise God. He survived, and his attitude now is really like fighting for more survival. He said, I'm not giving up, because I asked him, how are you? He said, I'm fine, I'm good. I asked him, are you having problems in the university, or what's your plan? He said, no, I'm okay. He said, Mama, I'm good, I'm okay. I can do this, so I'm not giving up. He said, I'm not giving up. So he has a very good, I would say, a very positive outlook in life, although he has the very difficult time adjusting, but at least I know that my son is in God's hands. That's one thing that I'm really assured of. My son is in God's hands. That's why he survived the very difficult year in his university life. So we talked about his options, and he said, if my visa to come to visit Japan will not be approved for now, he said he will have the summer class to cope up with the lost subjects because of the English orientation. But I said, let's have this plan, but let's leave God's plan to what will happen. So right now, his visa is still ongoing, on process. So we do not know if it will really come out on time. His last class will end next week. They will have the summer vacation already in the Philippines. So we have summer vacation from April to May. The last day of classes for them is on next week on Friday. So I'm hoping to, expecting that the visa will come out in 2 weeks' time so that we can process also his visa to come to Japan. So I think in the Philippines it would take 2 weeks to at least, or maybe at least 2 weeks to process the visa. So hopefully, so please pray, include it in your prayer that my son could visit Japan maybe in April or in May. So he really wants to visit. I don't know what's his main reason, but he said, Mama, I just want to visit to Japan. Okay, let's see what we can do, but let's leave God's will in that. Okay, so thank you very much. I'm really praising God for having a family here, because I am confident that even if I forget to pray for myself, God will tell you to pray for me. Thank you very much. God bless you all.
I was supposed to be the moderator today. I'm really sorry. I apologize, everybody. We had a problem at the wedding. I did a wedding in Kure, and there was a problem. It wasn't my fault. It was a combination of things, and we had to talk about it afterward, the staff and everybody. So that slowed everything down, and then the rain and the traffic slowed it more. Who's the moderator? Who took over for moderating? Is that okay? So Grace, let's talk afterwards. We'll switch, okay? And I won't do this again. If I have a wedding, I think I should just switch off with someone on a day. I've got a wedding far away. So, Art, did you already share about Micah? You've already haven't shared yet. Okay, so I'll just share what I can. So Art and I have been talking, and I guess it's been over about the past week or so, right? When Micah first moved in with Art and Darcy, it was a very relaxed atmosphere, and they weren't really. They were giving him a chance to kind of unwind and relax. But they some basic rules that they need. I mean, any ministry like what they're doing needs rules. And I guess Micah was going along for a while, but it seems like I'll let you share more, Art, that he's not really going along with the rules they've set for him. So, and Art has told him that if he's not going to follow their rules, he can't really stay there. I mean, that's their purpose. Their goal is not just to babysit someone, not just to let people live there, but to help them heal. So, I hope you can share some more, Art. But just please pray for our son that he'll have a change of heart, that he'll become willing to follow the rules that they've set, and that he'll really want to be there. All of you know the story that he was, in a way, I guess, kind of. I mean, our son Micah, he made a choice to go there, but I think he feels like it was a choice that couldn't be helped or something, a choice that where there was only one choice. So in a way, he kind of feels like he didn't fully, freely, from the bottom of his heart, with all his desire, choose to move in with Art and Darcy, but it was kind of the only thing left, or something like that. So we just pray that God will work in his heart, he'll have a change of heart where he'll really want to be there to receive the healing that he needs. He's talked about moving back to the Kansai area, and he's tried to get in touch with a member of our former church in the Kansai to maybe stay at that person's house, but We agree that's not the answer. Just changing, going back to where he grew up. I really believe over all this time that since the time we moved here, he's always said he wants to go back to Kansai, Kyoto, Osaka, go back to Kansai. I think it seems to me that it's not really going back to a place. I think it's really, when he says it's a place, but I think in reality it's a point in time in his past. I think he's got this image of some point in his past, maybe in his childhood when everything was wonderful, and he's I think subconsciously he wants to go back there. He's thinking, if I go back to the Kansai area, somehow everything can be good in my life. It's kind of magical thinking, or it's not reality. But he still keeps talking about it, and he called a couple of people yesterday. I think that was yesterday, wasn't it? Otani-san and Kaita-san. But it's so please pray that he'll have a change of heart. And Art, if you could share, I'd really appreciate whatever you could share about our son, Micah. Thank you. Thank you.
So our ministry is like for people that say, hey, I'm sick of living in my room, so I want to do something different. And so there's buy-in already. When they get there, they're like, I don't want to be in my room, I want to change. And Micah never made that decision. We had to kick him out of the house because he was being violent. So it's harder to get him to buy in now because he really didn't have a choice. I mean, it's like really easy things, like I need you to wake up in the morning at 8:30, I need you to take a shower, I need you to walk with me and walk the dog every day. That's all I've asked so far, maybe help with the dishes. And so during our week, which I'll get into a little bit, we had a counselor come, and I had set up a week with our neighbor for him to spend the entire week with them and work, but they got sick. And so what ended up happening was there was nothing for him to do during the day, and we were busy, and so it was just, you know, waking up at noon or later, and it was kind of shogunai, you know. And so I asked him, I said, please get up in the mornings, and he didn't, and he got up at noon, and he said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get up. And I think when did we leave the dog there? Monday, I left the dog. I said, please walk the dog. You know, we left her in a cage because I didn't know what time he'd get up. And we got back, we thought we'd get back in the afternoon. We got back at 5. And the dog's still in the cage. And I walked up and I said, did you let the dog out at all today? And he said, no, it was raining. And I'm just like, you know, just because it's raining and it's like not convenient for you doesn't mean you get to skip out on things that I ask you to do, you know. The thing is, like, Micah hasn't done anything anyone's asked him to do for 3 years. His parents didn't ask him to do anything when he was in the house. And so it's kind of like learning how to be in any kind of relationship again where someone expects something from you. And he kind of refused to go on the walk with me the other day. And I've told him, I said, you know, this is science. You depressed people respond well to exercise. Like, I work out, I'm prone to depression, and I work out 5 to 6 days a week because I don't want to take medication. And you need to, if you're prone to depression, you need to take steps to not be depressed. And so it's like, I'm really trying to be, Micah knows everything about me. He knows every struggle that's going on right now. And he does have good empathy, and it's been helpful. And we're friends. But I said, you know, you refusing to get up in the morning and you refusing to take a walk, it just means you don't respect me. And he goes, no, I do respect you. I said, no, you don't. Respect is if you respect me, you'll do what I ask, you know? It's not this imaginary concept in your head. You show respect. You don't think respect. And so, you know, Mike has never given up. Mike has never hit bottom. My original plan was to kick him out of the house, have him run out of money, have him be homeless on the street, or steal something and get arrested. Because because I thought that was the best course of action for him, is to actually hit bottom and say, I need help. He's never once said, I need help. And so I asked him the other day, I said, do you know what surrender means? He says, yes, I do. I said, you've never done that. And he acknowledged that. And I said, at some point, you're going to have to make a decision to give up control of your life, because you're not doing a good job with your life. Look at the last 3 years of your life. You're not doing well. This is the same thing we as Christians do when we give our life to God, because we look back at our life and we go, wow, I haven't been doing such a great job, God. Why don't you help me out? And so there's just, he's got a lot of pride. And we talked about hitting bottom and, you know, kind of the recovery programs and how that works. And I told him, I said, I kind of wish that you had ended up homeless. He looks at me, he goes, really? Well, yeah, I think that would have been the best thing for you, you know? He says, but I can make that decision now. I say, you can, but will you, you know? And so I just said, look, if you're not going to, I refuse to treat you like a child, right? I mean, when he was living with Tim and Toshi, I can't scoop my rice. And so they would scoop his rice. I can't wear pants. And they say, okay, you don't have to wear pants. I'm not going to treat you like you're crazy, you know? I'm going to treat you like an adult, not like a child. And I refuse to treat you like a child. And I refuse to argue with you every day because I don't want to live a life like that. And I don't want to become enemies with you. I'd rather you be my friend and move out of my house than have a fight every day with you, you know? So there is a lot of mutual respect and definitely good friendship there. And so we just need to pray that. And he took some initiative the other night. He did a bunch of dishes, and he said, you know, I'm going to take a shower. And he didn't yesterday, but 2 days ago, but he did yesterday. And so it was kind of like, yeah, let me show you that I want to try. I just pray that he doesn't have to do it the hard way, because the hard way is, I think for him, is being homeless or arrested. We're not, I told him, I'm not here to let you sleep till noon and just have a place for you to grow old and die. You know, the plan is to recover and to move out of the house. He understands that. He gets it all. And I definitely have hope. Just keep praying for him. It's been so, the last 3 weeks have been nuts. Two Sundays ago, I told you guys about a lot of the trauma that I had been through, and then we had a counselor come out to stay with us for a whole week because we were in kind of crisis mode. And it was because I was like, I'm just going to lose my temper at my kids and hurt them, right? But through a week of counseling, that's really wasn't the issue. The issue was I never had you look back at my life, I came from a well-off family. My dad was home every night for dinner because it was important to him, even though he was a busy person. Came to all my sporting events, got everything I wanted, was super spoiled. But I never had any kind of emotional connection with my parents. I was emotionally neglected, which I had never looked for dysfunction in my family before, because it was like, you have everything you want. Your parents say, I love you. They're always at your games. Why would I look for dysfunction there? But the fact is, I've never had a warm relationship with my parents, and I just didn't think about it. I don't know my parents. I don't know them. I don't know how they became a Christian. I don't know any of their struggles. They have a really, really strong codependent relationship where I was completely excluded. I think they have a lot of hurt and a lot of walls up, and I don't think I've ever been able to emotionally connect with my parents. And so that's the problem I was having with my girls, is like, I don't know how to do it because I've never experienced it, right? How do you emotionally connect with your kids if you've never been emotionally connected with, you know, from your parents? And it's even really, really interesting stuff. Like, I love other people's kids, right? And I'll be playing with other people's kids, and Darcy will look at me and go, play with Megumi, play with Megumi. And I'll look at Megumi and I'll go, my heart goes, I don't want to play with Megumi. And you know, the thing is, my parents are so focused on servicing other people all the time. That's their whole life, is to take care of other people, right? And that's what I've learned, is that my family is not, that's not the important part, right? My kids aren't the important part. It's other people are the important part. And so it's been really eye-opening that I've come from such deep dysfunction, but I've had no idea. So just that awareness has really helped me to understand why I am the way I am with my kids, and to know that it's dysfunctional, and to know that, like, it's important to emotionally connect with your kids, you know? And so, yeah, it's been really good. The anger with my kids isn't there anymore. You and I really, I've got a really great new kind of relationship with Yua. She brings a lot of joy to my life, which is really great. But I have a lot of stuff to work out with, like, my parents now, right? Because it's like, I don't know. I can't really get into the depth of the dysfunction, but it's really dysfunctional. And, you know, Darcy's always given my parents a hard time, and I always wondered why, you know? I'm like, why are you so hard on my parents? Well, it's because she saw that there was dysfunction there, and she's kind of sticking up for me. So my parents did a great job. They came from very dysfunctional parents as well. And so it was really eye-opening to get a sense of, like, why are you dysfunctional? And it's like, of course you're dysfunctional. You were raised, spoiled as an only child, and you were raised to be selfish and unempathetic. I am very selfish, and I have very little empathy. And I knew these things, but I didn't know why. And so it's been very eye-opening. It's definitely been God's timing to bring that counselor into our lives, and our marriage is really great. Wow. And it was great before this, because if it wasn't, it would have been really, really hard. And I have a great, you're a great wife. You're a great wife. So yeah, it's been emotional.
I'm Darcy. My husband says I'm a great wife. Just wanted to add a couple of things to what I was saying. One thing is we love Micah. Like, we love Micah. He's very easy to love. And he's really good with our daughters. He plays with Megumi. They do all these really silly games, and, like, they'll make each other laugh. And, like, he just can't control his smile when he's with Yua. Like, there's been some struggle and some challenges, but there's also been this other part, right? Also, like, he's been starting to communicate with some of his friends on Facebook Messenger. I know for sure at least two friends that he's now, like, in communication with. He was in communication with zero friends for 3 years. This is huge. So this has also been, like, since Art's been like, hey man, you gotta, like, move. If you're gonna, like, do something, you gotta do this, and can you write a list if you wanna communicate with? And he didn't do the list, but he's doing the steps of talking to people. This is huge. So please do keep praying for him, so, like, even as he is struggling to kind of maintain momentum, he's still in it. I just want to update you too. So we had this, our counselor who came to work with us is a mentor friend of ours, actually, we've known for years and years. Art has known her and her husband since he was 13 years old. And I've known her and her husband for 15 years, and her husband actually married us. So this is a family with whom we've had a long history. So for her to be sent by our mission agency to be with us for a week was incredible. She's a counselor. She's like my mentor, the one I share most of my life with. So she got to meet Yua for the first time, and that was awesome. And it was also important too, because she kind of gave voice to some things I've been kind of like, there's been a lot of stress in our household. So I've noticed, like, stuff with Yua, but, like, haven't really been able to, like, put it on the front of my mind. So, like, oh, Yua, she should really be crawling. Oh, Yua, she should really be doing more with her legs. Yua, she's not developing quickly. So my mentor is like, yeah, I'm a little worried about Yua. And I'm like, yeah, you know what, me too. So we went to go see our local, like, local doctor, like, you as pediatrician in Kita Hiroshima, and we're like, you know, we've got concerns. There's our mentor's friend, pediatrician in the States, was like, you know what, there are enough markers, like, even things like shape of her ears or, like, placement of her toes in addition to her digestion, where he's like, there could be some syndrome here. There could be a developmental syndrome. It could be something kind of like Down's or something like this. And the doctor in the States, like, just get it checked out. That's what you do. So we go to her pediatrician. We're like, we just have these concerns. We'd like to get a chromosome test. We'd like to get her checked out. And the doctor said, she's fine. She listened to her heart, you know. That's all. Listen to her heart. She's seen Yua since, you know, she was born. So she knows her. She knows inside everything, right? We were angry. Art was great. It's great that we are foreigners because we can say things like, we want a second opinion. And if you won't do the test here, we will go somewhere else to do the test. And so she wrote a letter of introduction for another doctor at a hospital here in the city. So so we went on Monday, and the doctor was amazing. And she watched Yua and move, and Yua, we were like, Yua's had this cold, and she like gave medicine for the cold and sucked like snot out of her lungs. I mean, like, was thorough and other things that weren't even our core issue in bringing Yua in, and she asked a lot of questions. We talked for a while. But even actually in the week and a half that our mentor was here, and then afterwards, Yua had started to move more. We're intensely like working her body and stuff. So she was doing more than she's done in the past, able to use her legs a little more and things. And the doctor's like, I don't think there's a problem, but we want to do the test, don't we? Yes, we do. And so she's like, we're gonna do a chromosome test, and we're gonna do an allergy test. And so they took a lot of blood from a screaming baby. And now we wait until April 15th for the results. So that's what's going on. Probably she's fine. Even if she's not fine, she's fine. But it is a challenge. Like when we decided to adopt a second time, we were open to receiving absolutely any child. If there was a mental disability or a syndrome or a physical disability, we're good. That's good. And we receive Yua, and she's, like, so healthy in all these ways. And so, like, the challenge is, like, you imagine a certain kind of future. And then, like, well, maybe you have to imagine another one. That's also a beautiful future. It's different. And so then you start feeling emotions of, like, oh, I don't know. So God's been really good with those, and Art's been really good with those, and our mentor is really good with all those emotions. Because Yua is perfect. And she's the perfect girl for us, and she's a joy. And she's a mystery, because her birth mother never went to the doctor at all before Yua was born. There was never, like, was she born early? We don't know. Like, what was the pregnancy healthy? We don't know if it was healthy. Like, we know nothing. So we just really feel like we want to look at Yua. And the second doctor we went to, Yoku Mitane, she really looked at her really well. And so we feel good about that. So we'll keep you posted. We have like more than a month to wait. And we feel pretty okay. We'd love your prayers for whatever. And also, this is also the time when soon we should hopefully have our last visit from the court for the adoption process. And maybe my dream would be around Good Friday, find out that it's finished with Yua's adoption. That's when we found out, when Megumi's story found out that the adoption was finished on Good Friday. And the Good Friday the year before, we found out that we had been selected to be the ones to present to Megumi's birth mother as parents. So Good Friday is really important in our adoptive family. So you can pray for that. It'd be kind of cool. And one last thing. Our friend Sarah is here. This is our friend Sarah Chang. And Sarah is our spiritual sister. And we served with her when we were in Nagoya. But that sounds so like, we served together. That's not how it was. It was like, we just really were family in Nagoya. Now she's here, and she gets to see our life in Hiroshima for a few days. And she's now serving in Chiba doing prayer ministry. So really a thrill. She just arrived during church. So we're really excited she's here. So thank you, family.
Hello, everyone. I'm Karen. So just very quick, 2 weeks ago, I introduced Aya to you guys. But today, I have a new friend, Alexa. Hi, Alexa. Say hello to everyone. Yeah, so please welcome her and please say hi later. Thank you.
My name is Fernando, you always remember. I want to thank you for your prayers, and I want to continue asking for prayers for my sons. Toma graduated and was accepted in the university, and he's going to move to Tokyo next week, I think. So he's the last one. Ryo King is with us until next week, too. So please pray for them. Ryo King is going back to the U.S., and Toma is going to stay in Tokyo, so. Please pray for us. And Riquito, he will come back for a little while just to get his license, and then he's going to go back to the Kanto region. So please continue praying for us. And then my left daughter, Sunday daughter. So, okay. Thank you. Oh, another thing, just praise the Lord. My mother just got her birthday, 84 years old. So.
Good afternoon. Open up your Bibles. Just kidding. I'll leave that to Chris. On Wednesday, I went to check one of my pig cages. I catch wild boar in my free time. And I had a little 10-pound pig in there. And I called Art, or I texted Art, and I said, you want it? Because he wants to raise a wild boar. And so he said, yeah, is today good or tomorrow? I said, tomorrow's better. So when I decided that tomorrow would be better, I also have I have six cages that I set normally. So one was occupied by a little 10-pound pig, and the others, they had good signs around them, so I really prayed, God, we need a pig, so Art can come, you know, see this pig. One to eat and one to take home. So the next morning I met Art, and we drove up to see the little 10-pound pig, and Art walked over and he said, it stinks. I said, well, yeah, it's a pig, you know, a pig. And then his next question was, how long will it take to get tame? This thing was eating the cage, you know, it's 10 pounds and it's trying to kill us and trying to kill him. Pig must be crazy. So I said, what are you going to do? You know, this is how we're going to get it out the cage. You hold its leg and I'll put it in the cage. And we brought a dog cage. And he said, no, let's kill it. So we killed the little pig, and then we went down to the big pig. The big pig was 50 kilos, so about 120 pounds, right? So as we're driving down, Art said, I said, I'm gonna have to make a spear to stab the big one, right? And Art said, well, I can hold its leg. I said, yeah, okay. He said, you don't think you can hold that pig's leg? I said, no, Art, you can't hold that pig's leg. We got to the cage, and it was rocking like this. That big old pig was trying to get out of the cage. And normally I can, sorry to be graphic, but normally the pig looks at me. But for some reason, this pig is watching this big gorilla walk around its cage, you know. Art's moving, and the pig's looking at him, not looking at me. It's pretty funny. That pig really wanted to eat Art. Art didn't grab its leg. All right. So after about 5 minutes of trying to get the pig to look at me, and he finally made a mistake, looked at Art, looking at me, I killed it with a spear. And And I said, Art, now you drag it down the hill. So we drug it down and washed it and gutted it and took it to the mountains and skinned it, and Art took it home and he ate it yesterday. So that's my testimony. But it was a good time. We had a good time. We laughed a lot, and Art bought me sushi, and you know, we ate sushi, and I know we smelled like pig, but we ate sushi. It was fun. It's good to have fellowship. So I said all this to say, if you have time for some really down-to-earth, nothing kind of crazy fellowship, do it. Don't just do Bible study, you know, in church. You know, go out and do something with a friend. It's just good stuff. Amen. We had a good time. We laughed, and I won't tell you the jokes Art told me.